This show is about truth and love and life, and it's my version of a Sunday homily if you're a Catholic, or a sermon if you're a Protestant. And it's this morning I want to talk a little bit about a Catholic saint, Saint Catherine of Siena, who is beautiful, changed the church much like Saint Francis did with the Pope and other people that were kind of hidebound, really moved by what she wrote. So I want to read some of her poetry, but first, to have a little fun, I thought I'd celebrate by playing a little bit of Etta James, "Something's Got a Hold on Me." So here's Etta James.
Sometimes I get a good feeling, yeah.
Yeah.
I get a feeling that I never, 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 never had before, no, no.
Yeah.
I just want to tell you right now that
ooh.
I believe, I really do believe that.
Something's got a hold on me, yeah.
I must be love.
Oh, something's got a hold on me right now, child.
I must be love.
Let me tell you now, I've got a feeling, I feel so strange. Everything about me seems to have changed. Step by step, I got a brand new walk. I even sound sweeter.
That's Etta James, "Something Got a Hold of Me." Welcome to the show, Grant Larson, KSKQ 89.5 FM, Sunday morning satsang every Sunday at 10. And I wanted to, before we get going, reading from St. Catherine of Siena and some of her poetry, excuse me, wanted to mention some of our very kind sponsors and underwriters. First one I wanted to talk about is St. Clair Productions. They are pleased to be an underwriter of KSKQ 89.5 FM in Ashland, Oregon. St. Clair Productions is the Rogue Valley source for live music, with an eclectic mix of folk music concerts at Ashland's Unitarian Fellowship from September through May. The styles include blues, bluegrass, Americana, and music from around the world. For a complete listing of upcoming shows, go to www.stclairevents. That would be stclairevents.com. Like St. Clair, that was the female companion, saintly helper of St. Francis. And you can call St. Clair Events at 541-535-3562. KSKQ thanks St. Clair Productions and listeners like you for supporting community radio. Another one of our underwriters is Just Imagine It, Inc., I-N-K. Just Imagine It, Inc. proudly supports KSKQ, and they are a resource for ebook publishing, audio book sales, and more. They are now presenting a new podcast called Get Behind Me, Now Stay There. It offers art and entertainment news, as well as interviews with authors, poets, and even just the guy down the street. Visit Just Imagine It, Inc., and that Inc. has a K on it, justimagineitinc.com, for more information. KSKQ thanks Just Imagine It, Inc., and listeners like you for supporting community radio. And the last underwriter I want to mention is Pickled Planet. Made with certified organic ingredients, Pickled Planet's raw sauerkraut and fermented vegetables are available in supermarkets throughout Oregon and Northern California. Pickled Planet cares about finding a more appropriate balance between our species, our ecosystems, and the way we provide for the needs of our community. Visit pickledplanet.com for more information and to learn about membership in the Bulk Kraut Club. And I don't even think you need to be German to be a part of the Bulk Kraut Club. They are located at 225 Water Street in Ashland, and that's across the street from the skate park. KSKQ thanks Pickled Planet and listeners like you for supporting community radio. Okay. And now on to the show. I want to talk a little bit about St. Catherine of Siena. I used to be a Catholic, but regardless of whether you're a Catholic or not, she's a great poet and a great mystic and has some beautiful things to say about the spiritual life. And so I'm going to read a short bit about her life because it's a very interesting, very, very short life. She was born in 1347, and she died at 33 in 1380. And she was said to have been profoundly interested in every human being that ever came before her. She devoted herself to relieving the mental and emotional suffering of hundreds who sought her out. Her words and her touch bestowed a soothing grace. Strange, she once said, that so much suffering is caused because of the misunderstanding of God's true nature. God's heart is more gentle than the Virgin's first kiss upon the Christ, and God's forgiveness to all, to any thought or act, is more certain than her own being. Her given name was Catherine Benincasa. She was born March 25, 1347, in the Fontebranda district of Siena in Italy. She and her twin sister, who died soon after birth, were two of more than, get this, 20 children born to parents who were devout Catholics. It was a time of class feuds and religious wars, as well as the Black Plague and the famine in Siena. It was a time of transition from the Middle Ages to the Renaissance. One day, when Catherine was 6 years old, she and her brother were returning from her older sister's house, and as they neared the church of the Dominican friars, set upon the beautiful hill of Campo Regi, Catherine looked up above the church and saw in the sunset Jesus and three of his apostles. Jesus smiled at her and raised his hand in a blessing. Catherine became happy beyond any delight she had ever known. She became transfixed by this vision, and it took her brothers tugging at her arm to bring her back into this world. She was transformed by this experience and began devoting her life to finding God through solitude, fasting, and prayer. When Catherine was 7 years old, her longing to wed God became so intense that she left home alone to find a cave in the forest of Lecto, where a known settlement of hermits was said to live. Taking with her only a loaf of bread, she soon found herself in the enchanting hillside forest. To her great surprise and delight, she discovered a cave and she thought was a perfect place in which to spend her life seeking God. During the night, while in prayer, Catherine felt a great uneasiness come over her body, and her limbs became numb. Feeling a little frightened, suddenly she heard a divine voice say, "How brave you are, my child, but let our wedding be later." The next thing Catherine knew, she was at home in her own bed. No one had missed her, and she was absolutely sure that what had happened was not a dream, though. She knew it wasn't a dream. But the next day, she took her brother to the cave and asked him to go inside and see if there was anything in there. He returned, carrying two sticks Catherine had bound together into a little cross, with part of the hem torn from her dress, and also the uneaten loaf of bread. She had leaned this cross upright against the east wall of the cave, and had also placed the bread there, intending to fast as long as she could. Upon seeing these, Catherine fell upon her knees with deep thanks and happiness and a faith in God. As she became older, she resisted her parents' pressure to marry and became a Dominican nun. At 21, she returned to her family and began a life of active service to the infirm and destitute while maintaining a deep interior life of contemplation. Jesus appeared to her many times, sometimes performing miracles and nourishing her deep love for him. She was a diplomat, and people from all walks of life sought her counsel, including the Pope. St. Catherine died at the age of 33. She was a rare, fearless human being whose faith in God turned into tangible experiences with the divine. Although she thought of herself as uneducated, her book, The Dialogue, and her other writings are highly valued by theologians. She had no official appointment from the Church, yet it's clear that she served as the Church's conscience. In 1970, Pope Paul VI proclaimed her to be a doctor of the Church, and there have been very, 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 very few of those. So it's very beautiful. And so I'd like to read some of her poetry and comment on the poems as I go. This is Grant Larson. This is Sunday Morning Satsang on KSKQ 89.5 FM in Ashland. And the first poem by St. Catherine of Siena is called Vulnerable. It's very short, but it's very, very beautiful. Vulnerable we are, like an infant. We need each other's care, or we will suffer. That's so beautiful. I just love that. And another one called I Won't Take No for an Answer. I won't take no for an answer, God began to say to me when he opened his arms each night, wanting us to dance. That's sweet. And another one. This is called No One Will Begrudge Me. I talk about it sometimes with him, all the suffering in the world. Dear God, I have prayed, how is it possible? All the horrors I have seen, all the atrocities you allow man to commit when you, God, are ever standing so near and could help us. Could we not hear your voice say no with such love and power, that never again would we harm each other? And my Lord replied, who would understand if I said that I cannot bear to confine a wing and not let it learn from the course it chooses? But what of a man walking lost in a forest, weeping, calling your name for help, and unknown to him, He is headed straight for a covered pit with sharp spears in it that will maim his flesh when he crashes through that trap. Yes, why don't I remove every object from this world, God said, that could cause someone to weep? Yes, why don't I speak it in a way that could save a life? I opened up my hand and the infinite ran to the edges of space, and all possibilities were contained therein, all possibilities, even sorrow. In the end, nothing that ever caused one pain will exist. No one will begrudge me. The absolute innocence of all within my creation takes a while to understand. I like to, this is again from St. Catherine of Siena, who lived in the 14th century, became a saint in the Catholic Church. I think the deeper seeing about everything in this world is that the people that seem responsible for all the atrocities, I think we need to expand our vision of what happens in life and not sit still for wrongdoing, but to realize that, in a sense, they are really doing absolutely the best they can, that they are really absolutely innocent because in their own mind, they think they're loving, they think they're doing good. And it's really, really important that we take this in because we can drive ourselves crazy seeing what seems to be evil in the world and not understanding how can people do these things, how can people say these things. And yet the truth is that they were absolutely, positively innocent. It's a really deep seeing that we need to sit with. Is it true that whoever it is that really bothers you, are they really doing this out of total meanness or in their own, you might say, twisted way, a result of their conditioning, a result of their upbringing, a result of all their experiences, and really just acting out of what can be seen in a certain way as a twisted form of love? And so it's just a reminder through this poem that we all totally need to meet people where they are at. We need to love them where they are at because that's how we connect with people, not to say, you need to do this better. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't stop people from things that are going to hurt other people. We would all do that, of course. But the truth is that to condemn others, like they say, without having walked a mile in their moccasins and their shoes, is something that as we get older, I think we need to take in and live, because the only way that you will ever be able to talk to somebody who is in a hard place like this is to meet them where they're at, and then you begin there with love to maybe explore something different for them. That's the only thing that actually works. It's the only thing that can happen. And so for people that are in prison and in jail, and I've met hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of these people from my counseling and being a chaplain in the jails and prisons, that I never met anybody that once I really heard what their background was, I couldn't have said myself, I could have been right here where they are and I could have done right what they did based on their experience. And so it's not excusing it, but it's an understanding of the pain and suffering and the tough upbringing that some people have. And we can say, gee, these folks need to get over it. And yet the truth is that's been their life, that they've been so abused, so hurt, so misled, so misguided, so delusionary that this is what happens. And so there really has to be forgiveness at all times and a meeting of people in their pain, because people who do these kinds of things have incredible pain, incredible suffering. That's what drives them to do it. And so if you're called to meet people in this way, to meet them where they're at, then you can be a friend, then there can be love, then the love can flow from where they're at. And that's our job in this life, to meet people, to love them. So I'm reading this morning from the poetry of St. Catherine of Siena, a saint in the Catholic Church who lived in the 14th century. She died at 33. Another one, it's called That Skill. It's very, very short. A thorn has entered your foot. That is why I weep at times at night. There are some in this world who can pull it out. The skill that takes, they have learned from God. They have learned from Him. How beautiful is that? So this is our job, friends. This is our job to be incredibly loving, to meet each other in love. And I just can't say it enough times that this is the point of our life. We have incredible love inside all of us. It gets covered over by our conditioning, by our background, by our experiences, and we can't see it. Can't see it in ourselves, and then we try to find it by our actions, by doing something that can be so crazy at times that it doesn't even bear any resemblance of love. But that's the source of all of this. We can say, how can there be a God when there's all this suffering? Well, it gets twisted. The interpretation of God's life in this world gets twisted, of the source, however you want to call it, Krishna, all of it. It can get twisted. And so whether you follow Muhammad or Buddha or Jesus or somebody else, the truth is that in all of their messages, there is just this incredible, incredible love. I mean, we can look at Islam right now. We can say, wow, what was this guy Muhammad really, really like? Well, for a while, my daughter dated a Muslim and actually was considering becoming one. And so I got to talk to this fellow, and I talked to a friend of his who was an imam, a priest, basically. And when they talk about Muhammad, and you read it in the Quran, here is, in some of the passages and some of the stories, the most amazing, compassionate, tender being, so heartfelt, makes Jesus look like a hard ass in a lot of ways. And you wonder, how in the world can these folks, in the name of Muhammad, do these seemingly despicable things? And it's really the conditioning. It's humans getting fearful and getting protective and getting protective of the beauty they find in the Quran and wanting everyone to believe what they believe. You know, it's a fervor. It's a love, but they don't see it. I remember talking to this young man that was dating my daughter. He brought a fellow over to the house who was from Palestine, and he'd been a young Palestinian boy, and he'd thrown rocks at the Israeli soldiers, and they shot at him, and they actually paralyzed him for life. One of those bullets paralyzed him, and there he was in the wheelchair. And I remember presenting him and my daughter's friend with this information I had about this beautiful story about Muhammad and the compassion, incredible compassion in the story. And I said, he's an amazing man, this Muhammad, so compassionate. And they said, absolutely, absolutely, isn't he amazing? And I said, well, how do you justify your anger toward the Israelis when this is Muhammad's message? And they both just leaped up and said, well, they did this, and they did that, and they did this, and they did that. And so it's like we're these split personalities. We can see in our religion on Sunday or on Saturday or whatever the beauty of the message, and then the next second we're chopping everybody's heads off. We're wanting to kill everybody. So there's this split personality. So can we take day to day the deepest part of our religious values seriously and live them out in love? Well, this morning I'm reading more poetry from St. Catherine of Siena. This is Grant Larson on Sunday Morning Satsang. This is KSKQ 89.5 FM in Ashland, Oregon. Next one I want to read is called This Place of Abundance. We know nothing until we know everything. I have no object to defend, for it is all of equal value to me. I cannot lose anything in this place of abundance I have found. If something my heart cherishes is taken away, I say, Lord, what happened? And 100 more things of abundance appear. And another one called The Foundation of God. My perfect Lord sang, and this is what he said, less likely is My perfect Lord sang, less likely is God to condemn my hand's action than condemn any soul. How could that be possible, my heart thought, and the Christ, knowing all minds, replied, forgiveness is the foundation of God's being. This is what we need to remember, whether we're Christian or we're not. The depth of Christianity, the message, is actually that forgiveness. Forgiveness for everything, past, future, present. Another poem by St. Catherine of Siena called The Hymns of the Earth. I wanted to be a hermit and only hear the hymns of the earth and the laughter of the sky and the sweet gossip of the creatures on my limbs, the forests. I wanted to be a hermit and not see another face look upon mine and tell me I was not all the beauty in this world. For many faces do that. They cage us. The wings we have are so fragile, they can break from just one word or a glance devoid of love. I wanted to live in that cloister of light silence because, is it not true, the heart is so fragile and shy. We need to remember that in our dealings with everyone. And the very last one that just really touches me, called Until Your Own Dawn. And this is about really life being a dream. Until Your Own Dawn by St. Catherine of Siena. Daybreak. Everything in this world is a luminous divine dream I have spun. I did not know life was a fabric woven by my soul. Any form that can appear to you, should I confess this, is something I made. All roots nurse from me. God's art is mine. I did not want his divine talent. It simply grew in my heart from the way I loved. Existence is as a young child moving through a lane at night. It wanted to hold my hand. Here, dear earth, hold me. Here, dear earth, hold me until your own dawn. Well, that's our show for today. I hope you'll stay tuned for the star guy, Stefan Windroth, an amazing astrologer. And here is a tune which I love, which has no relationship to St. Catherine. It's Tommy Tucker. Put on those high heel sneakers, baby. So here we go.
Put on your red.